Morning. Always a pleasure to be here. We love it. We're honored that you give us the privilege to come here and open God's word to you. And in that spirit, let us open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for purchasing us by the Lamb, the spotless Lamb that was slain, not by corruptible things like gold and silver, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not by our works, which are filthy rags, but by the finished work on the cross. Lord, we look to your word, and as we do, help us each to examine ourselves whether we are truly of the faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the prayer, I gave away to you the main point of the sermon, is that we would each examine ourselves, whether we are really in the faith. We would test ourselves. This is 2 Corinthians command, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Goes on to say, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? I'm going to look, actually not at 2 Corinthians, but a survey through the Gospels to look at the lives of two different men. The only thing they have in common is that they're both thieves, you could say. They both took things that didn't belong to them. I'm going to examine the resume of these two men. Now you may be thinking, surely our brother is going to the two thieves on the cross. It's not so. We're going to borrow one of those men, the one that got saved, that one. But we're also going to examine another thief of whom we know so much more. And it is against this man that we should examine ourselves. His name is Judas Iscariot. We know he's a thief. John chapter 12 tells us this, verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So we know Judas is a thief. They both had this title or titles that would signify they took things that weren't theirs. But with the thief on the cross, we know so little. We're going to go to that in a bit. But with Judas, we know so much. Why does God give us so much concerning Judas? In fact, Judas, we know, was chosen by Jesus in John chapter 6. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Look at Judas's resume and compare it to yours. He was chosen by Jesus as one of the 12 apostles. He followed the Lord. We know from the narrative of the Gospels that the followers, the 12 apostles, all 12, followed the Lord. They studied with Jesus. They were mentored by Jesus. Constantly, every time Jesus opened his mouth, they were studying Scripture. Isn't that remarkable? So you could put on Judas's resume, not only was he chosen, he was chosen to be a follower, a disciple, and an apostle. Whereas the thief on the cross, the only chosenness we could say of him was that he was simply chosen from the foundation of the world. And Judas was condemned. The thief was saved at the cross. Judas served the Lord Jesus, being chosen for this ministry. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. You ever wonder if Judas's ministry was lackluster? If it was meh? It's all right. Not like the other 11, though. Well, the scriptures would lead us to believe that those conclusions are unscriptural. It continues in Matthew 10. The next verse says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach,'" Judas had to preach, "'saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons.'" What's on your resume? Judas was sent. He gave them power. Look, it says in that verse 1 of Matthew 10, he had called his 12 disciples to them. He gave them power over unclean spirits. It doesn't say Judas didn't have the power. It includes him as the last named apostle who also betrayed him. But he was one of these men who went out preaching, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and casting out demons, all under the resume of Judas Iscariot. It'll become more clear that he certainly did do these things as we examine more scriptures, that we have no reason to look back and say maybe it was lackluster. How many of you are following Jesus, but you haven't really believed on him like Judas? Look at Judas's resume. Judas did all that, but in Matthew 7, that was Matthew 10, in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So in Matthew 10, he said, "Go and preach, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." And in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Among them will be Judas Iscariot, who did all that among the 12. He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the gospel. Judas healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers along with the other 11. He raised the dead. He cast out the demons along with the other 11. The thief at the cross, what did he do? He didn't serve God. Throughout his life, he served himself through robbery and crime. The thief at the cross who would be saved served himself so much that even the pagan laws of Rome condemned him, undeserving to live, to crucifixion. The contrast between Judas and this thief couldn't be greater. By the way, brethren, we are speaking of salvation today. Not sanctification, salvation. Concerning salvation, Judas, in following Christ, would have very likely spent time living with the Lord. Some historians say at the time of Christ, if you went up to someone and said, "Follow me," and you were a rabbi or in the Jewish faith, that meant, "Come live with me. Come watch how I do life." Whether those historians are correct or not, we know from scriptures that he was one of the 12. We know that they at times did sleep near each other. We know they certainly ate together. Not only that, did Judas sleep near the Lord, likely spent time living with the Lord. He certainly ate with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus himself entrusted into Judas's hands great responsibility. What's on your resume? Look, under Jesus's leadership, the ministry finances were entrusted to Judas's hands, weren't they? Judas handled the money bag of the Son of God. How many church treasurers today would feel their responsibility is not worthy to be compared, though it is big, a responsibility not worthy to be compared to handling the finances of Jesus himself on earth? Hey, Judas, who are you a money manager for? only Jesus Christ and the 11, really the 12 himself too. Look at that resume. I said he followed the Lord, likely slept with the Lord with the other 11, and ate with the Lord. Not only ate with the Lord, just like having a meal, but sat at the table of the Lord. How many of you sat at the table of the Lord today? I want you to look, think about this. Judas sat at the table of the Lord, broke bread with the Lord at the table of the Lord. And we know from the scriptures that it was a remarkable story. In fact, in Matthew 26, verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" They counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. And so from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Jesus tells them to prepare. Now, on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into a city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them. It's verse 19 of Matthew 26. And they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, they sat down with the 12. Here's Judas with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." So here's Judas eating with Jesus. Have you eaten with Jesus in person? And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" This is the verse that tells us Judas Iscariot's ministry was as spotless as the rest of them, as good or as bad. However you look at the other 11, Judas was the same. Because when Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me, none of them said, "Well, duh. It's that guy." What did they actually say? It says in verse 22 of Matthew 26, and they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me." Well, they had all done that. Verse 24, then the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. This is Jesus speaking of Judas. This is the verse that tells us in no uncertain terms, Judas does not get saved. Because Jesus is looking to all eternity, saying, it'd be better if this guy were never born. So we know Judas never got saved, because Jesus says, it'd be better if he were never born. Here's the fate of Judas. Now, verse 25, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" Now remember, they were all asking this. Which is remarkable if you think about it, because these 12 were used to what? Discussing which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. Which of them would be the greatest? That was their discussion sometimes, wasn't it? And yet here, "Lord, is it I?" They each acknowledge that they could have been the betrayer of God. It's remarkable. The Holy Spirit had not yet come, but a rare moment of introspection, of looking at their inward self. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples. Did I read the verse 25? Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." Jesus tells Judas, "It's you." But look at Judas's resume. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That tells us Judas was, in all likelihood, we have no reason to believe not, he was present, broke bread, took the bread and the cup at the institution of the Lord's Supper, at the table of the Lord with Jesus himself. but it didn't save him from sin, did it? You were at the table of the Lord today. Is that what you put on your resume when you present yourself before God for salvation? It gets worse. Luke 22, concerning the same evening, verse 19, then he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. They began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. That's along the same lines of what we read. And John 13 tells us that at the same scene, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That's verse 2. Skipping now to verse 18 of the same chapter, John 13. Jesus said, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. So here, Judas had scripture about him. Do you have scripture about you specifically? Look at Judas's resume. He could put on his resume, there is prophecy about me that I would eat bread with them. And Jesus acknowledged it. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now Jesus had said these things. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. We know from the other gospels, they were looking inwardly too. Lord, is it I? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. This is likely Simon Peter motioning to John, whose gospel this is. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Add that to his resume. He was not only at the Lord's table, not only did he eat with Jesus, not only did he break bread with Jesus, not only was there prophecy concerning him eating bread with Jesus, in fact, at the Lord's table, Jesus Christ himself dipped the bread and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. How many of you can write on your resume, Jesus himself gave me the bread? If you were at the Lord's Supper today and you're trusting in just this physical bread to save you, this physical loaf here, not the spiritual picture of Christ's body, well, that's no good because Judas had the physical loaf handed to him by Jesus himself. But it'd be better if Judas had never been born. Having received the bread, he went out immediately and it was night. Satan had entered him. You can eat with Jesus, it won't save you. You can be at the Passover meal with Jesus, it won't save you. You can be there, you can have Jesus himself hand you the bread, it won't save you. What bread will save you? John chapter 6, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Isn't that true of Judas? He had seen Jesus and had not believed. Judas, from this scripture, we can deduce logically, Judas never came to Jesus. Though he walked with him for 3 years, he never spiritually came to Jesus. He never believed in him so that he would no longer hunger and thirst. The Jews in that passage, it wasn't just Judas. It says in that passage of John 6, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. In verse 47, Jesus tells them, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." We know from that passage that many were bothered, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" How many went away? How many of his followers went away? Because they were bothered by this, because he said, "If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me." How many went away? Jesus would turn to the 12 and say, "Do you want to leave also?" One of them would say, "Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." Even Judas stayed. Even he didn't go away. But he didn't believe the words of Christ. You may be sitting here today saying, "You know what? I'm not Judas Iscariot. He was an enemy of God. He betrayed Jesus. I'm a friend of God. I don't see Jesus as my enemy." Well, did you know Jesus called Judas friend? Did you know that? Matthew chapter 26, verse 45, "Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.' And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him." You can put on your resume, "Jesus calls me friend." But so could Judas. Judas was friends with Jesus for at least 3 years from the calling. Perhaps they might have known of each other from before. Many of the Jews said, "Is this not the son of Joseph and Mary whom we know?" But at least 3 years, Judas was friends with Jesus. It didn't save Judas to being condemned to hellfire. Won't save you either. You have to be adopted. You have to become a child of God. You have to be adopted into the family of the Heavenly Father. And adoption with God happens only by faith in the Son. Some of you are born into a Christian family. You have many blessings available to you that I never did. Though I am now also born again into a Christian family, the church, and I have these blessings too. But I worry for some of you, especially you younger ones, are you looking to your parents to save you because they seem to be children of God? And perhaps your hope is that since mom and dad are children of God, perhaps God will see you as a grandchild maybe through your parents, and you also will be saved. But that's not true. That's a lie. In fact, God has no grandchildren, a preacher once said. God cannot see you as a grandchild through your parents. But God is willing to see you as a child through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you only believe he's your Lord and Savior. You don't even have to have parents who are Christian. You yourself will become a child of God. Judas was friends with Jesus for 3 years, but he was not a child of God. How many of you can put on your resume, "My lips have kissed the Son of God"? Luke 22, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?'" And we know from Matthew that he immediately went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. You could have on your resume, "My lips have kissed the Son of God." It wouldn't save you. Thank God none of us can put that on our resume since Christ has ascended, lest we fool ourselves. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said, "I am the door." Jesus is the door by which we must be saved. Jesus is the door to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the door to the Father. Because Judas Iscariot kissed Jesus Christ, a preacher once said, Judas Iscariot kissed the door to heaven. And then he turned around and went straight to hell. How? Why? Because when he rejected believing on Jesus Christ as his Lord, Judas turned his back on the door to salvation and went straight to the gates of hell. He's today in Sheol, in Hades, in eternal torment, waiting for the great white throne moment where he'll get his death sentence, eternal torment in the lake of fire. But he kissed Jesus, you know. How many of you have that on your resume? If you're here as a Christian today, and you know your spirit witnesses with God's spirit that you are his, this sermon is not lost on you. I hope it humbles you like it humbled me. My resume can't be compared, of all people, to Judas. I better not grow proud. Now, you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, he's avoiding the point. I mean, this man betrayed Jesus. Come on. That's why he's condemned to hellfire. First of all, we have to realize God doesn't change the rules of salvation for anybody. Didn't Peter betray Jesus? Lord, why cannot I come with you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus said before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That was just Peter. They all forsook and fled. By some miracle, John happened to appear later at the cross at the moment Christ was dying. I'm sorry, was pierced by the spear after his death. But they all betrayed Christ. What about the chief elders and priests? Didn't they betray Jesus too? These people knew the law. Jesus spoke to them of the parable of the vineyard, which was to tell them, you know I am the heir of all things, and you wish to kill me and take possession of the vineyard. That was the message of that parable. Didn't they betray Jesus, knowing the scripture? What about the chief elders and scribes at the birth of Christ, standing before Herod, telling him he's going to be born in Bethlehem because it is said, out of you, O Bethlehem, will come a ruler. Didn't they betray Jesus? They told Herod, who they knew was a rash king. History's pages tell us Herod killed his own children. Oh yeah, the Jews knew what they were doing. It's sad. And Muslims would have done no better if they were alive at the time, in case you think I'm being anti-Semitic. They all betrayed Jesus. Sure, Judas had the greater condemnation. But did you know this? That Judas tried to fix his mistakes when others didn't. How many of the Jews later went to Joseph and Mary and said, listen, we just consulted Herod and told him where you're going to be born. And we know Herod is a rash king. He may try to kill the king. He's troubled and all Israel is troubled with him. Let us make this right. You got to go hide in Egypt. Not a single Jew. God had to show them in a dream that they should go to Egypt and in a dream when they should come back. At least Judas tried to right his wrongs. I want you to compare your resume to Judas when you sin. This is very humbling. Look at this. When morning came, this is Matthew 27, verse 1. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. The old King James says, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw he was condemned, repented himself. Repentance is a word we often use concerning salvation, and rightly so, because it is the change of mind, repenting, going from one moment believing he's not Lord and Savior to having a change of mind, believing he's your Lord and Savior. And with that comes so much more in repentance afterward. But that belief, look at Judas, King James Version, verse 3, Matthew 27, Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw he was condemned, repented himself. Back to the New King James that I have here. It says he was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. How many of you do this when you sin? And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they, the children of Israel, priced, and gave them to the potter's field as the Lord had directed me. Look at this. This man did betray Jesus, but he was remorseful. The King James says he repented himself. Where did he go when he repented? Do you go to church when you feel bad about your sins? He went to the temple. There's many church buildings across America, but there was only one temple. It's not even here right now. He went to the temple that was there at the time. There was only one. Talk about going to an exclusive building in repentance. He went to the temple. Do you go to a church on a special holiday? Did Judas go to the temple when he saw these chief priests? When did he go? That was the day the Lord was betrayed. I'm sorry. He was betrayed the evening previous. That was the day that they would crucify him. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. If I'm not mistaken, that's the Good Friday on which Christ was killed. Imagine saying, I went to, not church, temple on the first ever Good Friday. Put that on Judas's resume. We have reason to believe the other 11 apostles did not go to the temple for at least 3 days, maybe way longer. These men were running for their lives. They all had forsook him and fled, but Judas was remorseful. He went to the temple. Not only that, he confessed his sins publicly. Did you see what Judas said? Going through that passage, he said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. How many of you can put on your resume, when I sin, I go to chief priests and elders? That's like going to the workers and elders conference and confessing your sins publicly among all of them. Add that to Judas's resume. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's pretty humbling, too. And yet, for all that, he wasn't saved. You say he betrayed him. Well, he brought the money back. He brought the 30 pieces of money back. Now, he had a few different gigs, Judas Iscariot. One was apostle, disciple, follower. He had this other gig, this side gig, thief. And then he had this other thing he did, betraying the Son of God. You could look at it as a side job that he did among these other things. He brought back 100% of his income from that side gig. How many of you can say, I have a part-time job, and on that part-time job, I'm tithing or offering, whatever you want to say, 100% of its income to God? That's what Judas did when he did that side gig, betraying the Son of God. He gave tithe and offering of 100% of his greatest heist, 30 pieces of silver. He gave all of it. Now, who did he give it to? I wonder if this is on your resume. Are you trusting and giving money to God to take you to heaven? Well, Judas went and gave it to the chief priests and elders in Matthew 27, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. There's his public confession. It's commendable, but not worthy to save him. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. When church leaders, so to speak, at the time, turned their back on him, though there was no church yet, it would be built on the rock of Peter, by the rock of Christ, really ultimately the foundation rock. But the leaders of their church of the time, if you will, the temple, they told him, you see to it. When they turned their back on him, look at what this man did. He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He tried to give the money to the temple and the chief priests and elders, and when that failed, he gave the money to God himself in the temple on the floor. It's impressive. We know that the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. So they consulted together, bought the potter's field to bury strangers in. So Judas first gave money to the temple priests and chief priests and elders. He gave that money. When that failed, he gave the money directly to God in the temple. Then he went and hanged himself, but these men took that same money and bought the potter's field to bury strangers in. You were supposed to do well by strangers. God would say constantly through the law, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall love the stranger as yourself. They did a good thing with that money. And it was Judas's money for the job he did. Look at this. He gave the money to chief priests and elders. When that failed, he gave it to God. And then posthumously after his death, the money went to strangers to the benefit of a good cause. How many of you can put all that to your resume? It didn't save Judas. It won't save you. Not only that, the chief priests and elders were glad at some point earlier in the Gospels when Judas came to them saying that he would betray Jesus. They were glad. Church leaders today may be glad with you. Judas fooled the 11 apostles, but he didn't fool Jesus. You may fool these elders sitting here at the front, but you haven't fooled Jesus. God doesn't need your money. He wants your soul to be saved through Jesus' Son. When all else failed, Judas Iscariot punished himself for what he did. Perhaps as what some religions would call penance. What is penance? An act of self-abasement, mortification, or devotion performed to show sorrow or repentance for sin. One might do charitable work as a penance. We find these things in Roman, Eastern, and some Anglican churches. Penance. Maybe even some hurt themselves in regret of the sin they've committed. Judas Iscariot, it says, went and hanged himself. He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The last thing he did was give money to God. That was the second to last thing he did. And the very last thing he did was kill himself, perhaps as penance. You may punish yourself for some of the sins you do. What greater punishment is there than killing yourself? Judas killed himself, and yet he will not be in the kingdom of heaven. It would be better if he'd never been born. You know, it's remarkable. Think about this for a moment. All that could have happened to Judas. Think of in the Old Testament how God would kill someone for some small mistake to demonstrate that he's holy. And there's no exceptions, and sin will not be tolerated. Here is Judas sinning against Jesus Christ himself on earth, and God does not bring the full weight and force of the law down on Judas. He doesn't do that. He even tried to turn himself in. He wasn't even arrested. In the end, he killed himself. I believe God perhaps permitted this, not that God tempts, not that God sins, but that God did not have Judas captured, arrested, tried, and killed for his crime, but that Judas himself killed himself. Perhaps it was a demonstration that when you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're self-condemned. He committed suicide, but what greater suicide is there than the spiritual suicide of rejecting Christ and going eternally into the lake of fire? If suicide is death in the flesh, rejecting Christ is the second death, the lake of fire. There's a suicide. Perhaps that's why God didn't have him arrested or even tried. You know, sometimes we hear, to get saved, you got to stop sinning. Now, you definitely, after your salvation, should be learning, slowly but surely, as you permit God to work in your life, should be beginning to learn, sin is wrong. This grieves the Holy Spirit that lives in me, and we should have a sanctification process. These things are true. But if someone says you must cease to sin in order to be saved, well, then no one can be saved. Because no one can cease from sin completely until they are glorified, perfected in Christ. But imagine this, even to those who might preach that gospel, which is really a gospel of works, Judas Iscariot stopped sinning. Sure, the last thing he did was self-murder. But after that, he never sinned again. Not on earth. Judas tried everything. We try to put him in a box by himself, as though God puts someone in a box and has different rules of salvation for that person. God never does that. God is impartial to all men. I believe the resume of Judas Iscariot is here for us to look at and to think and to compare ourselves to it, to see our resume falls so infinitely short because we were not chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12, even though we are the elect, if you're saved. We did not follow the Lord in the flesh. We did not study with Jesus. We were not mentored by Jesus. We didn't spend time living with Jesus. We didn't sleep near Jesus. We didn't eat with the Lord. We didn't break bread at the Lord's table. We didn't have Jesus himself hand us the bread. When we sin, we don't always go to church leadership and confess in a multitude of church leadership, publicly confessing. We don't return all the money from our wrongdoing, all the benefits of our wrongdoing. Some of it we can't even return. It's impossible to return. And how will you return any of the benefit of the fleeting desires of sin we indulge in? If it's not money, most of it you can't return. He returned the money. He gave 100% of that money back. He repented of himself, but not of his belief in Christ. He went to the temple on a holiday, the first Friday. And then he went, punished himself, killed himself, never sinned again. There is not a human soul in hell like Judas Iscariot that has a resume like him. Not a soul in Sheol has a resume like Judas. I have to wrap this up, otherwise I'll go over time. Perhaps next time we'll look at the thief on the cross and we'll compare his resume to Judas's. But I won't leave you hanging on the most important part. Judas did all that. Do. He wouldn't wait just a few hours to see what God would do. He gave the money, he went and hanged himself. Then the trial of Christ begins. He's brought before rulers, Pilate, the governor, Herod. Eventually they crucify him later that day. And before sundown, they take his body down and put it in a grave. If Judas had just waited just a few hours, he would have seen what God, from the foundation of the world, was going to do for people like him. But he didn't wait. He went and hanged himself. You tell me what's worse, that Judas wouldn't wait a few hours, or you knowing the gospel, or you knowing the gospel, which has been finished at the cross for the better part of 2,000 years, you continue to sit there and wait. Why? What are you waiting for? Profess with your mouth Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Judas spoke several words in the Bible. Never once did he call Jesus Lord. Never once did he believe on him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resume of Judas Iscariot, a thing you give to us to humble believers and to convict unbelievers who haven't believed. Lord, we pray if there's someone here who's fooled us, they wouldn't leave this building without speaking to somebody. Lord, they can speak to me. I won't rebuke them for fooling me. I'll rejoice with them for coming out and telling the truth that they are truly a sinner unsaved, and they need faith to be saved. And Lord, we know, as the words of Christ say, anyone who comes to him, he will by no means turn away. And on the last day, he will raise him up and give him eternal life through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the gospel is simple, faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. In Jesus' name, through grace, amen.